ICMA University is pleased to present this online program entitled Working Differently in a Post-COVID-19 World. We are very pleased to welcome all of you to this presentation. I'd like to draw everyone's attention to the links box located on the left of your screen. This area contains links to handouts and resources related to today's program. When you click on a link, a separate web browser window or tab will open so that you can view, save, or print. The webinar evaluation link is also in this area. You must be logged into ICMA University to access the survey from here, but you can also find it on your dashboard after today's program by clicking on the program title. It is my pleasure to introduce today's presenters, Erica Philpott and Tim Rusholte. Erica Philpott serves as the Coconino County Human Resources Director. Ms. Philpott's background includes diverse work in the human resources field in the public, private, and nonprofit sectors. Ms. Philpott writes and has published regularly on human resources matters for the National Association of Counties and other news sources. She obtained her Master of Business Administration from Arizona State University and holds a professional in human resources certification. Ms. Philpott is a member of the Society for Human Resources Management and is a SHRM certified professional. She and her family reside in Flagstaff, Arizona, and are avid outdoor enthusiasts who enjoy natural environment in Arizona. Tim Rusholte, PhD, is the Chief Executive Officer at the Professional Development Academy and Chief Architect of the NACO High Performance Leadership Program. Dr. Rusholte has over 20 years of professional management experience and started his career in corporate finance for a multi-billion dollar company. Most recently, before his CEO role at the Academy, he served as a principal executive for 14 years in state government, serving as chief learning officer in Oregon government until 2014. Tim is the co-author of Projects Without Boundaries, Successfully Leading Teams and Managing Projects in a Virtual World, Program Management for Improved Business Results, Leading Global Project Teams, Distributed Teams Collaboration in Organizations, and My Best Advice, Proven Rules for Effective Leadership. Speakers, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, and welcome everyone. On behalf of Erica and myself and the ICMA team, it is great to be with you today, especially this day, where we are really working in a very different world than I am sure than what any one of us really planned for. As we conduct our regular planning, if you're like most folks, back on the second half of 2019, as we're forecasting forward into 2020 and maybe even beyond 2020, none of us had envisioned what we have been experiencing here most recently, as well as over the last several weeks and few months. And it is really a different world than what we were working in just earlier this year in January, February, and early parts of March. And so we are working differently, here as we manage our way through the COVID-19 world and what we might envision that COVID-19 world being in the future. And so Erica and I are both extremely excited to be with you today and excited to share some of our thoughts and ideas about working differently within our organizations, among our teams, and across our ecosystem with suppliers and partners and others to distribute services and products to those that we serve every day. We know that you too also have a significant amount of insights and perspectives and, at this point, probably best practices. And we would encourage everyone to use the chat feature. We will have ample opportunity for questions and responses. Erica and I may not have answers for every question that you bring forward, but hopefully we'll have some ideas and some thoughts, and collectively with everyone on the line, we'll be able to provide some immediate actions for folks based on the questions that you have. Because let's face it, Erica and I have our own set of questions as well, and we're going to share with you what we have been doing differently, how we have been working differently, and what we think is going to remain different going forward, and what is going to remain the same. And it kind of gets us into the conversation today. And again, just as a reminder, feel free to use the chat box if you want to provide some insights at any point in the presentation as Erica and I provide insights and thoughts and ideas about our organizations and the products and services that we provide every day. And if there's questions, again, feel free to use the chat box, or we'll have some time at the end to take questions and have those facilitated by the team here managing the call. And again, welcome everyone. As we think about working differently, there's a lot of things that are different. We're using technology perhaps in ways that we've never envisioned before. We have, governments making decisions without being face-to-face in the same location, whether that location is in Washington, D.C., or if it is in areas around our counties and cities and states. There are hearings that are taking place virtually. Via video conference, whereas before there was a sense that, we always have to be present for such things, for votes to be made and hearings to take place. There's a significant amount of technology that is being developed because of this time. We hear quite a bit about conference-based technology today. Not a day goes by very often since the middle of March that we don't hear about Zoom or WebEx or Microsoft Teams or these type of collaboration tools and how it is that we're managing our work today as compared to what we've done in this case just days or weeks or very short months in the past. As we work in those new technologies, it also raises some new cybersecurity threats and concerns and issues and challenges for us, both on the privacy side as well as just the data security and brand security and financial security and other type of security that is different now. We are working from home, many of us, and have been for quite a while at this point, and probably still into the future for a number of days or weeks or months at this point. And for some folks, they may never go back to the office. There is a permanency in some of the things that we're experiencing these days. And because of the telework, we have new challenges and issues because our devices are connected to other devices at the home that they may not be connected with at the office. Our smart devices around the house that enable us to be more efficient in and around the house can create increasing risks to the business of what it is that we carry on. And so what is convenient in one segment of our life is now being blurred because of the integration of our lives, work life, community life, home life, these type of things. And because of all of that integration, our work schedules are changing. In times past, for some of us, we would get up in the morning, we would have a little breakfast, and we would head off to the office and get there by 7 or 8 in the morning. We would take a little break in the midday for some lunch or maybe a quick workout or a walk through the park to go then back to the office and finish up our afternoon and go back home for the rest of our chores at home and our expectations and our duties and our hobbies and other community-type things that we engage in. These days, those work schedules are extremely blurred. We find ourselves, our duration of work activities is expanding. Now we get up at the same time and check emails and answer emails and get on Zoom calls or WebEx calls or meetings and in the middle of the morning we have to help try to be an educator for fourth grade math and do the best we can with accommodating other individuals that are in the house managing their work as well, whether that is a child who is going to school or a spouse or a partner who is also dealing with the same impacts of COVID, all of these things. And you all probably have your own list of things as well. And one of the things would be interesting if folks do want to use the chat box and kind of have a level of engagement here, Erica and I would encourage you, if you're operating in a different way that you thought, wow, this would have never been possible just a few months ago, feel free to drop it in the chat box. I'm sure if for no other reason, you'll be able to see some comments from other individuals. Just make sure you're broadcasting it to everybody if you can do that. We'll see some things that's like, wow, yeah, I'm challenged by that as well. Or, yes, our organization has seen that too. Because not only is it about cybersecurity and trying to figure out ways to leverage new technologies to carry out the business of our work, but we are finding that we have to engage employees in a different way. We have to continue to monitor employee satisfaction because now, you know, not only do we want to make sure that they're engaged in their work, but we want to also make sure that they're mentally healthy. You know, before we could see certain strain on people, and it becomes difficult to see that strain through video lenses all the time. And it's difficult sometimes to see that strain if we're not much more intentional about connecting with people and drawing meaning in the work that we do on a regular basis. And so this list could have been a lot longer. We just wanted to limit it to a handful of things that would probably resonate with most, if not everybody. And again, you could probably add to this list of things, some things that are happening differently today that we find ourselves faced with and have overcome. I mean, you know, I think this list also is a testament to what actually can happen when we think about questions like, you know, organizations often are struggle when it comes to planning and executing and sustaining positive change within their organization, their practices, and bringing about new products and services. And some of the things that we find ourselves faced with today, we can look back and say, wow, when it mattered the most, we can change. We can rise to the occasion and execute change in a very meaningful way and in a very positive way. And in many cases, that's really what this presentation is going to be about, because we can look across any industry, whatever industry you're currently in, telecommunications, financial services, hospitality, especially education. We hear a lot about education these days, a lot about the events business, you know, organizations and individuals that go to events, they go to annual conferences. A lot of that has been significantly disrupted at this time, and there's new things that need to be determined and figured out on how is it that we're going to address this. And how is it that we're going to continue to provide valuable service to those that are our members, that are our clients, that are our customers, our constituents, and we are doing that. And so if there's one key takeaway already, I encourage you, and Erica and I both encourage you, to just pause for 20 seconds, and as we're thinking about some of this change in various industries, and think about a few things that, yeah, we thought that this was going to be a real hard challenge, and we thought maybe we'd get here 3 years from now about the way in which we can change as an organization, but think about what you have done over just the last few months. And just look at that list. Just think about those things that you've been able to accomplish in terms of the continuation of the services and the delivery model that you have as an organization, that you are able to change when it matters most. And celebrate that as a win. You know, celebrate the individuals that are enabling that to take place every single day, continuing to carry out, you know, the educational services for those from, you know, preschool and grade school and high school and college and beyond. Think about the education that is now still taking place. Think about the high technology and the innovations that are happening. You know, NASA and Elon Musk and his SpaceX team were successful with an incredible accomplishment over this weekend. You know, they thought it was going to be this time last week, but because of some of the weather, you know, it took place on Saturday where they were able to launch a SpaceX rocket and not just be successful at the launch, but dock it to the space station and advance the knowledge and the capacity of what it is that we can learn through space travel and what that might mean, not just for space travel, but the rest of the world, just in terms of the way in which we think about innovation and think about how to manage expectations and manage knowledge and advance knowledge for the betterment of all kind. And so there's just a significant amount of work that's going on, and there's a significant amount of work currently happening in terms of innovation. And that is going to pay dividends in the latter part of this year, next year, 5 years from now. The work that's going on right now in healthcare to diagnose exactly what's going on with this COVID virus and this pandemic that we face today, how is it that we can overcome this? And we will overcome this. And in so doing, we're conducting research that is going to solve that problem, But in the process as well, we're going to accidentally, because of the advancement of knowledge, because there's certain things that we think that we're going to test out and address some hypothesis and find something else out instead, because of that accidental awareness building and knowledge building, we will find even newer innovations and newer innovations out of healthcare that are going to help in the entertainment business and healthcare that's going to help in the automotive business and the retail business and so on and so forth. There's a lot of synergy in terms of innovation and how we can think about that. And again, we're all impacted by it. And so again, welcome to this call. I'm really happy that everyone is joining in, and Erica and I are pleased to be a part of this conversation today. And as Erica and I were working on this, there were really three questions that we thought we would use as a grounding foundation of the time that we'll spend together, the next 60 minutes or so. And that is, when we think about the challenges that we face today, what actions should we be thinking about and should we be taking right now? You know, at this time, this time of incredible challenge, and in many cases we can think of it in times of incredible trouble. You know, how do we address things? What should we be doing right now? How do we overcome the challenges of today and establish success paths and ways forward for tomorrow? And then thirdly, how do we overcome obstacles that are immediately in our way? And some of those obstacles may be, you know, historical bias that we've had, that, you know, if we were in education, some of that historical bias may have been, you know, we don't believe in going online with education because of these limitations, and now we don't have a choice. And so how do we overcome those limitations to develop and deliver the experience necessary to enable individuals to grow and thrive in a challenging environment? So these were three questions that really helped to guide our thinking as we thought about our time together. And Erica, I'm going to ask you to come in at this time and share some thoughts relative to these questions, and specifically about some of the results that you're seeing with your employees, with the county, because I know that you've done some significant surveying work and checking the pulse of your employee base and understanding them from a workforce as well as people. And so I'd love, Erica, for you to chime in here at this point, share some of your thoughts and ideas around these questions about this, some of the survey results that you've been finding out of Coconino County.
Thanks, Tim, and thank you to everyone for joining us today. We're really excited to be here with you. We at Coconino County, we have been polling our employees, as Tim mentioned, and I think we felt that was important because, like all of you, we pivoted very quickly. And during these times, citizens rely on us in local government more than ever for public health, for rental assistance, for utility assistance, for they have greater needs that need to be met. And so we asked a lot of employees to change what they were doing, to change the work that they were performing, to change the manner in which they were performing it, to float to other departments, to help out with greater needs. And so we wanted to get a sense of what was going on with our employees, how was this change impacting them, and how were they responding to telecommuting? Like you, we had employees who took their desktop and took it home. We didn't have laptops for everyone, and we let people take their desktop and their monitors and their chair from their office and overnight move into their home to be able to continue that service. And so we wanted to know how that was going, but we wanted to know even more how they were doing, and if they felt like they had the information and the tools they need, if they still felt connected to us as an organization, to their department, to their colleagues, and how they were feeling about our culture, and how the stress was impacting them. We also wanted to, as Tim mentioned, celebrate those wins and find out what innovation was going well and what they were proud of. And so what we did was a survey, which started off really as a telecommuting survey in a sense, but we changed it to the present status of work survey because we wanted to remember our employees and have employees participate who cannot telecommute or telework, who were continuing to work in person, whether they were in our jail or as a deputy or in our courts, in our clerk of the court. And so we had our public health employees, and our epidemiologists, those working in our emergency operations center. So we expanded that survey. And one of the things Tim and I want to ask all of you right now is to find out if you are surveying employees. And so we have this poll, and the poll question is, have you conducted or are presently conducting a survey of your employees? And if you could just take a moment to click on either yes or no there, we're interested to see how you are doing your information and your feedback from employees at this time, if you're using survey as one tool to do that. One of the things that we found as we did survey, we had rolled out our survey before the holiday weekend, before Memorial Day, 10% of our employees responded over the holiday weekend, which really indicated to us that they were eager to provide feedback, to have that quick of a response. And they shared some of their favorite parts of telecommuting. They talked about the lack of commute time, saving gas and car maintenance money, that it was better for the environment. But they also talked about the loss of connection to their team members and their colleagues. They mentioned things like, I haven't seen people's faces in weeks, and what that meant to them. They talked about checking in with their teams and feeling connected and having a group of people that they check in periodically to make sure that they had that connection. And so we also asked them if they were able to disconnect at the end of the day and what their stress level was like. And then we took their ideas and their lessons learned, and we really reflected on those and also included those in our reentry plan drafts. But we found at Coconino County that we had a majority of employees doing different tasks than they had prior to COVID-19, and nearly half of them were working some type of different schedule. As Tim mentioned earlier, the constraints were different for that. And so it appears that most of you have an opportunity to respond to our poll, and 66% of you have not yet conducted a survey or are presently conducting, and 34% of you have done some type of survey or are presently conducting a survey. So thank you for that. That really helps us to understand kind of where we are in this conversation together today. And I wanted to mention here that we were really looking at the schedules purposefully and intentionally. One of the things that we did for the employees who were unable to telework was that we offered them to have different schedules so that we could limit the number of people working alongside each other. And a good example of that for us is in mechanical services. The mechanics were still working in the shop. We wanted to space them out, have fewer people working at one time, following the CDC recommendations. And so what we did in that instance was create a schedule where they worked 3 days a week in the shop and had 4 days off. And so in order to do that, to have some of them working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, have the other ones working Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we had to open up the shop on Saturday where it hadn't been opened up previously. And we also expanded hours to, again, schedule, have staggered schedules and help have fewer people in the shop. And so we did that there successfully and did that in some other departments as well where we opened up buildings on Saturdays. And in other areas, closed buildings on Fridays altogether and had only virtual help on Fridays, so that we could have greater time to clean them. So it really depended on the operational needs of the employees. The other thing that we really wanted to ask about was really that mental health and well-being at work. And we wanted to talk about that. And I am still on the poll slide. Can you see a different slide, Tim, or do you still see the poll slide?
I still see the poll slide, but I can move this forward for you a little bit, Erica.
Okay. I think I got it. Thank you. It did catch up for a moment. It had paused momentarily. I apologize for that. So we were asking about really those engagement questions. And so we we asked employees how they were feeling about the thought of reentry, about phased reentry, and a lot of the comments that we got back was that there was fear, stress, and anxiety during this time of change, with the thought of reentry, and having a reentry plan with phases was calming to people, but they were really honest and shared their fear, their frustration. Some of them immediately wanted to come back. Some of them were needing to come back into the office, wanted that normalcy, and others were very concerned about coming back. Some had a lot of outside stressors as far as family and childcare and caring for an elderly parent or grandparent at their home, not being able to see someone in a nursing home. And so we wanted to really be aware of that and provide some people with tips for what the resources were, but also just tips for staying centered and well, and acknowledging that there's no wrong way to feel right now, but there are many resources and tips for taking care of yourself so that we could all stay centered and healthy while working remotely, while working different tasks or different shifts. And so we asked employees and to really consider a couple things about well-being at work. We asked them to think about making time to unwind and to try to do some other activities they enjoy, to start with themselves, to really take care of themselves. We asked them to think about sprinkling affirmations throughout their day, and with the thought that we are all washing and hand sanitizing our hands so much right now, that if every time you washed your hands or used hand sanitizer, if you could say to yourself, I am grateful for what's going well. I am grateful for all that we've accomplished. I'm grateful for the way that we serve others, to connect that to your motivation and passion for the work. How inspiring would that be? And to not forget the power of music, to listen to music that inspired them and helped them to focus and improve their mood and remember what a powerful thing they could be, to stretch and to breathe for stress release, and really introduce the 4-7-8 model for breathing, which is taking in a breath, inhaling through your nose for a silent count of 4, holding your breath for a silent count of 7, and then exhaling completely through your mouth to a silent count of 8, and repeating that 3 times. So sharing breathing exercises with our employees to give them another tool for that. And we also provided a list of well-being resources as far as what our employee assistance program was offering, what our wellness program was offering for exercise and well-being and assistance for telehealth to counselors if needed, many different ways that they could take care of themselves, but also really talking about celebrating the wins to have a positive mindset. And so with that, I will turn it over to Tim.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. It's great information. And Laura, thank you for your question. I saw that come in the chat relative to the copy of the survey. I can actually go back to that survey just so that we have a look at it again and what the final results are. 69% of individuals saying no and 32% saying yes, 32% saying yes. We have conducted a survey among employees. And for Laura and everyone else, the slide materials are available in the pane to of the information here to download. And if you can't find that, we'll certainly make sure that we provide information throughout the chat box for everybody as to how to download those slides. And we will continue to reference these surveys. We will have a couple other polls. So for Laura and others, for anyone wanting this information, we can certainly provide more information about this going forward. There will be a couple other polling questions throughout this. And Laura, I do see your additional information. I apologize for misinterpreting that question, the employee survey that was just referenced. So yeah, Erica, if that is not proprietary information, perhaps you and Coconino County would be able to make the survey tool that you used across your employee base, your workforce base, make that available to the team at ICMA, who then could make that available to everyone who is tuned in. And so, Laura, we'll work to get that to you as well as others through Coconino County and through the team here at ICMA. One of the things that was talked about is, what can we do right now? And Erica just provided a significant amount of information of what is currently being done through the county. And we have done similar things, across our academy. And, part of that is really understanding the employees and letting them know that things are different at this point. We're not expecting individuals to be working, 8 hours, in duration throughout the day. It is, 8 hours or 7 hours or 9 hours or 10 hours sometimes, or longer for some folks who are at the front line of the pandemic. But it's across the entire day these days. It's not from 8 to 5 because we recognize that, you do have loved ones at home. As Erica was mentioning, some employees are caring for parents, and they're having to work in a different way, that the schedule has become altered and disruptive, and that needs to be accommodated appropriately. There are individuals, one of the things that we found out from our workforce when everyone worked from home, most of our workforce did have laptops that they just packed up and, they took their laptops home. And we, in conducting some of our early surveys, we recognized that, they wanted to go back to the office and get additional material. They wanted to have additional things like whiteboards to have at home and more comfortable office type chairs that they'd be able to sit in rather than their dining room chair, their kitchen stool that they have breakfast at the kitchen island every morning. They wanted to have something more accommodating than that. And so, making accommodations such as that. And so for those that have not conducted a survey, it need not be an elaborate tool. It could simply be an invitation and a gentle request among supervising managers to just ask folks in the next conversation you have with your employees, ask them, how are they doing? What do they need? Is there anything that can be provided to help their work and their life at this point be a little bit easier? And then just aggregate that information that comes back, anecdotally from one individual to the next. And I understand that can be extremely difficult on a large scale for a large organization. But, most of us have teams of 7 or 17 people, and it is a little bit more manageable when we think about individual managers taking care of their teams at this time. And so there's a lot that can be learned in the course of conducting a survey. And one thing, as Erica and I thought about those questions that we were just showing about what can we do right now and how do we overcome some of these challenges that are right in front of us, first of all, it starts with us. It does start. There is a reason that positive mindset is a thing. There's a reason that mindset is so often talked about, and we have to be mentally strong, especially at times of pandemics, especially at times of massive and immediate change, such as we're working through right now. And it's one of the reasons that Eric and I wanted to start with this slide. So what can we do right now? Think about your work. Think about how you think about your work and all of the other aspects of your life at this time. One of the things that we recognize is we have power within ourselves just in how we show up. And Stephanie, I appreciate your comment that you just made that you're ordering stand-up desks and additional supplies for your staff members and shipping them directly to their homes. That's fantastic. It's great to hear. So Stephanie, thank you for sharing that. And again, we recognize that one of the points of value here for Eric and I as we thought about this presentation, and one of the reasons we're encouraging folks to provide their best practices in the chat box, is because what might be a best practice for me is not necessarily a best practice for other people. Some folks might be looking at Stephanie's comment, and Stephanie, we've done the same thing at the Academy for some of our folks about shipping them that were in a little bit more, that didn't want to go out of their house because they didn't want to be out in public. They wanted to stay at home, and they couldn't go to the office and get a chair. We had a chair shipped to them. And not everyone has the ability to do that. Not everyone has a budget to accommodate things like that, and we understand that. And so we're not trying to suggest that, you know, what I do as part of the Academy is best practice and universal for everyone, nor what Stephanie is doing for her team. It's great to see that level of activity taking place. But we want to be able to share all the practices and then have each individual relative to the organization, the culture, the capacity of that company to carry out what is most important and best. And one thing that we have found is it does start with us. You know, when Eric and I were brainstorming ideas, it is about this idea of mindset. And just to give you an example, I've got a friend of mine. His name's Peter. He's 83 years old, and he's an entrepreneur. He has had extremely successful businesses, billion-dollar businesses, extremely successful, very large workforces that have reported to him and were created because of his businesses. And he's got two businesses that he started within the last few years that are going to be equally big. They're going to both be billion-dollar businesses based on the trajectory they're currently on. And I was in a conversation with him just the other day, and I asked about, you know, the importance of mindset as an entrepreneur. And he said, you know, it's everything, whether you're an entrepreneur or otherwise. He said, you just have to think about, you know, do you believe in yourself? Do you believe that we will be able to get through this? And you can think of it in a binary way that either we do or we don't, or kind of on a sliding scale of, you know, it depends on the day and who I'm with and this kind of stuff. But he looks at it in terms of, you know, there have been 47 significant downturns. Just take it from a market perspective, 47 significant downturns in the market since this was being measured, which was at the latter parts of the 1700s. And so 47 downturns or recessions in the market, a couple quarters of consecutive decline in the market output is a recession. And he's like, you know, I just look at it in terms of, let's just take recessions as an example. We've been through 47. My gut and my mind tells me we're going to make it through 48. You know, that's a mindset, and it's a positive mindset. You know, yes, we've got a pandemic, and it is devastating. It is very serious, and it's significantly impacting all of our lives, not just business and moving us into a recession, but, you know, think of it outside of the market context, just in a humanity context. There's a significant amount of challenge, concern, and now we need a significant amount of care and compassion relative to what's going on. And he's like, you know, it's a mindset. I believe that we will get through this. I believe that we will be able to accomplish this. I believe in my company to overcome change, to endure the challenge, to see what needs to be done, and then meet that challenge with more force than what the challenging force is to overcome that challenge. And, you know, some of the folks that I've worked with my academy and elsewhere, it is this kind of phrase that many of us have probably heard. You know, it's 90% of our life is how we react to the things that are happening all around us. So there's a small portion of our life of what is happening to us, and then most of what really happens is how we then react to it. And I remember having a conversation with Tracy Arnas. She's the chief talent officer at SAP, and she said the same thing relative to mindset. You know, the only thing that we really have control on is how we show up. You know, and that's mindset. It's what, you know, there's really two questions here that come about, and they're standard, rather typical, you know, coaching questions, mentoring questions, and those questions are, what will you do with the world as you find it, and what shows up when you do? And so the way we find the world today is somewhat adrift. And it's because of this pandemic, and it has serious issues on people, both from a professional perspective, but probably in most cases, very much more importantly, on a personal perspective, around mentality and around mental health and physical health and emotional health. And, you know, because of that, then what will you do with the world as you find it? You know, what do you do? You know, Erica talked about, you know, giving space for people to wind down. Well, on Fridays, we have what we refer to as a wind-down meeting, and it's at the end of Friday, and it is a wind-down meeting where, you know, some people kind of, you know, misinterpret the word wind. You know, I'm using air quotes now. We're not on video, so you can't see me, but, you know, we initiated wind-down meetings on Friday to be W-I-N-D, wind down. We're going to wind down the week. Let's focus on big accomplishments we made, the help that we provided one another. You know, as we had this for a few weeks, wind down for some folks turned into W-I-N-E wind down Friday, I mean, where folks would bring in some beverages and things like that, you know, at their home while they were in the Zoom meeting or on the video conference. And it's just a wind down. It's checking in with people. How are you doing? You know, thank you for the support this week. Thank you for the, you know, help on that presentation or this meeting or whatever that might be. And it is about, you know, making sure that we recognize that, yes, this has happened. You know, this being the pandemic, this being the change of work, this being the new normal, if you will, quote unquote. And now what will we do with the world as we find it? This is one of the first things that we can accomplish. This is one of the first things we can do is first and foremost to recognize that we have the ability to affect change in a positive way, especially when things are, you know, are happening around us. And it really comes to this idea from this book that was written by Glenn Clark. And, you know, the book is The Man Who Tapped the Secrets of the Universe. And in it, he says, I believe sincerely that everyone has consummate genius within them. And that consummate genius is important when we think about overcoming challenges and being innovative and being creative and being able to plan and execute and sustain positive change and impact others. And it goes on to say, you know, some people have more of this consummate genius than others, only and simply because they're aware of it more than others. And the awareness or unawareness of that genius is what makes each one of them masters, or it holds them to some level of mediocrity. It is a belief. It is a belief and a mindset of, yes, it can be done. Yes, we can overcome. And as he talks about, you know, he says, I believe mediocrity is self-inflicted, and he also believes that genius is self-bestowed. And so it is one of these things as we think about our week, as we think about our accomplishments, as we think about what we're doing now that we may not have thought possible just a few weeks ago, a few months ago, that's genius at work. And now, you know, recognize that as a value and what can be done next. How do we leverage on top of this? How do we recognize it and applaud it and celebrate it and then actually do even more of it? And so, you know, this is an important aspect, especially when we're in a pandemic. And it is this this idea here that we have around, you know, nothing's achieved without first a belief that it can be done. And Erica, I know that you've got some lessons around this mindset perspective as well, and I'm going to ask for you to share some of those perspectives relative to your role in HR and across the business of Coconino County.
Thanks, Tim. And I did reply in the chat to Laura for her question that I'd be happy to share the survey. We did come up with it ourselves, so it is not proprietary, as Tim was asking about. And really, it was one of those good lessons learned, and that survey went out very quickly. And I'm sure if I share it with all of you, you will make improvements to it, where previously we probably would have had more people review that survey. Maybe have even a committee or a team review that survey. Fewer people reviewed that survey, and we got it out very quickly. We wanted to be able to hear from employees. And so we're finding across all of our organizations that we are, how quickly we can implement and learn new things, learn new software, learn teams, and believing that we can change quickly and that we will have great success with that change quickly. And I think a good example of that from outside of work is that recently I've had several family members and close friends have high school graduations, and their children and our nieces and nephews and cousins are participating in high school graduations. And this year that was so different, as I'm sure so many of you can recognize. And all of the high school graduations were really different. So one of the schools had a parade where people drove by the houses and honked of all of the seniors that year and had a route that they sent out. One of the high schools had a smaller high school, had the graduating seniors in the procession, and they went by places where people could cheer for them from their front yards. One of the other high schools had booths or tents set up for the high school seniors in different locations where they could decorate their own table and people could drive by and honor them. And still another had kind of a drive through graduation where the graduates stayed in the car with their parents and they were all together as a family during that time. And what the reason that I share this is so many of those families shared with me that the graduation ceremony was more meaningful this year than it had ever been before, that they liked the idea of being together to honor their graduate, that they liked the idea of honoring each graduate for their unique differences and successes and the things that they were themselves proud of. With those boots. And so as we think about the way that things have always been and how we could do things differently, sometimes we see that we come up with something even better than what we had before. And so many of these parents said, I hope the schools keep some elements of this in graduation moving forward and not just go back to the way it had been before. And that was a really powerful idea for us in local government about how can we make improvements and keep those. And so the term that gets used periodically is the new normal. But I think of it as an exciting future and how where we can go. And so I wanted to just share a couple of the lessons learned that we have had, not just about the technology, learning that new technology, which we really have done, and I think so many of you have done, but also about some other things. So our facilities staff is now making hand sanitizer. They were able to buy bulk ingredients at the very beginning of COVID and are making hand sanitizer for all of our departments. They've changed the protocols on how they're taking out trash. We've created protocols on a lot of different things about what to do if an employee tells everyone that they're ill or talks about maybe being COVID positive. How are we encouraging people to wear masks? And we have a department that where everyone was working in person and people were all wearing masks and continue to be wearing masks, and employees were given extra breaks so they could go outside and take off those masks and have a break from those masks so that they were getting used to wearing them, and encouraging people to eat outside so that they could get some fresh air, be able to take off their mask and eat lunch and not have to use a break room if they didn't feel comfortable doing so. And so we also really thought about interviewing. Are we hiring new people? Are we interviewing them? How are we onboarding them? And we were interviewing by phone, by Skype, by Zoom, by one-directional interviewing as well. We actually had a multi-panel interview virtually, which I was really nervous about, but in the end it went really well. And having that backup plan for if we lose connectivity with people. But we also had some in-person interviews. If we were interviewing for a job that was going to be in person where they would have to be working in person, we wanted them to really see what the work environment would be and know the protocols we put in place and feel comfortable in that environment and be able to visualize it and see it. We also talked a lot about onboarding. What can we do via video? What pieces need to be done virtually on Teams or Zoom or Skype so that there's a connection to the organization, to departments, and to team? How are the departments going to onboard people? And it got into a greater conversation of how do we support people who aren't right there next to us? How do we train them and teach them? How do we coach them? How do we discipline them virtually? And so that we'll let them know that their performance isn't meeting expectations. How do we communicate when goals are changing? And that's a really important thing, I think, is resetting goals, because things that seemed important 6 months ago have changed, and some of those things aren't important at this time. We have new goals and new priorities. 6 months ago seems like a long time for me and maybe for several of you. And so to really reset and talk about what are the expectations. What we saw at the beginning of telecommuting was that employees were trying to respond very quickly all the time and were reaching out a lot. They were afraid that their supervisors wouldn't know that they were working if they weren't responding every second, and they were communicating, they were afraid to get up, they were afraid to go get a drink of water, they didn't want to miss anything, they didn't want people to think that they weren't taking the telecommuting responsibility really seriously. So talking about trust and talking about expectations really helped with so much of that feeling of anxiety about that new change. And as Tim mentioned, to really check in with people and see them and hear their voice and ask them if they're okay. And so many of our supervisors, managers, and directors called people and said, I just want to check on you. How are you doing? And people really responded to that and were thankful for that opportunity to not just talk about the tasks at hand, but to really talk about what was going on, what they needed, what they were missing. And we had a lot of employees who missed their second monitor. They didn't grab their second monitor. We had employees who were working without printers and scanners. And so we're really relying on paperless filing and electronic files. Some departments had a calendar that they put up so that employees could schedule a time to go into the office and pick up files that they needed. And sometimes each week, depending on if they had case files, they would have to come in and rotate those files, and they would have a different time scheduled or a different day, and how to convert that to electronic files. So it was really a time to recognize how our resources and tools aligned with this particular event, because you can't plan for every event. And so to say, you know, this is going well, we have room for improvement here, we can rely more on this system or not, was a really good opportunity to assess our tools and be thankful for the tools we had and think about how we could do things totally different, like that high school graduation example. How could the new normal be even more exciting than what we had, and recognizing that for some people what we had was a loss, that change in itself, that's emotion in itself, to recognize that loss of the old way of doing business. So on our next slide, we have a polling question. I have one more before the polling question. It's about this positive mindset. And so just wanted to share this, the thought about people, process, and technology. So how are we supporting the people? Do we have the processes, protocols, guidance to support people during this time? And can we use our technology robustly in order to support all of those? So are we leveraging the technology that we have? Do we need additional guidance for people at this time? And that's one thing that we've seen that we've needed is more guidance. It helps to send that out, to communicate that, and to be really transparent, so that people can feel confident in that they have the information they need to be successful. But we need to understand and address the resources that we have. So here is our polling question. What percentage of your workforce is presently telecommuting or working differently right now? So we did put a lot of choices here so that we could really differentiate, and we understand this is an estimate from you, but really in increments of 20, we wanted to know what percentage of your workforce is presently telecommuting, so we can get a sense of what your workforces look like right now in this new environment, and recognizing that not all employees, as I mentioned earlier, are able to telecommute. So what are we doing for them, and how are we making sure that when we're communicating about telework, communicating about those people telecommuting, that they don't feel left out of that conversation, and to really recognize them. And that's why we felt like in that survey it was so important to ask more than just questions about telecommuting, because we wanted to really honor all of our employees and recognizing how every single one of them contributes to the overall goal of our organization, upholds our values as an organization, and serves citizens, that we do that as a team, as a one county response, and that we couldn't do it without every single one of them. And so I think our numbers have slowed down a little bit on the poll, so it looks like everyone has had a chance to weigh in. And we see that a lot of you have people telecommuting 20% of the time, but there's also quite a few who have between 60 and 100% of the time. It's hard to estimate that sometimes, so I recognize that that is an estimation. So thank you for that. That's really great information for all of us to see what each other are doing as we're thinking about what the future looks like. So as we think about what reentry looks like, one of the questions that we've asked in our organization is, imagine yourself 1 year from now. What does that look like 1 year from now? What are new service delivery models, and what does the workspace look like for you a year from now? And then how can we get there from here in phases of the reentry plan? So our employees did have a say in the departmental reentry plans. Each department submitted their own reentry plan. We had those reviewed by HR, facilities, and our Health and Human Services Department, and looked at them and discussed them, both in a leadership team meeting and in an all-hands town hall, so that we could get input and get feedback on those plans. Those plans are living documents, so we want to capture their ideas and update them as the world changes, because it's been changing quite a lot, and we're recognizing that we're all on this journey together. And so as we imagined where we were 1 year from now, one of the questions that we asked is, how much time would people want to telecommute in the future? Ideally, if they got to pick how much time they would telecommute, what would that look like for them? And it was a really interesting snapshot, because we had employees who, when they first started telecommuting, said, I really am struggling. I don't like it at all. I don't know how long I can do this, who have since grown to like it. And we've had other employees who said, I've telecommuted before, I know I can be successful, and then they came back and said, you know, this isn't normal telecommuting. When I telecommuted in the past, I didn't have my kids home. I wasn't sharing the internet with my spouse and a child finishing up high school and a child who's in college and came home and is doing online classes. Or I have really young children, and so they were struggling with that. It didn't meet the expectations that they thought it would look like. And so we recognized that when we asked those questions, that it was not set in stone, that it could change and that people could change their minds about it. But we really wanted to get a snapshot or a pulse about how people were feeling right now. And we included information to them about, in that phased reentry, about wearing masks, about hand washing, about cleaning, about traveling in cars together for county business, about the size of meetings, as I'm sure many of you have done as well. We also made sure that they knew where an HR, that HR would be the place to seek an accommodation if they were unable to wear a mask due to a health condition or a traumatic experience. But we also talked about citizens who could not wear masks and how would we accommodate them? Would we be able to serve them by phone, by internet, by fillable form, by Dropbox, by drive-up window, which we did create, by service by appointment, or even service at an outdoor desk? What did that look like? And so to have people be as innovative as possible, to try new ideas, but then also think about which things were we going to keep a year from now. And one of the things people wanted to keep was the drive-up window, county service by drive-up window. It was really well-received, and the employees liked it, and the citizens liked it. So it's that conversation about where you would be in 1 year helped people to also think about getting through this, moving on past this, and help them look toward the future, and help them think about a time when there wouldn't be so much change as there is right now. And I'm moving forward to the next slide. I don't know if you can see that. There we go. So understanding the reality of your situation. So some things have changed, and they may never revert back to the way things were. We had staff who went into their office because they had food in their desks, and some of them said when they walked in, they thought this office might not look like this again in the future, that we might not all be here at the same time. Will we still have employees in leased spaces, for example, or can we lessen our building footprint? Would people in the future be telecommuting more, and that we wouldn't have everyone in the same office at the same time and maybe wouldn't be in that building even? Would we have shared workstations so that some people could telecommute and share those workstations? Or conversely, would we get away from shared workstations because of concerns about transmission of virus? Would we have electronic files? Would we provide online services? And so when we asked what employees would want to do in a year, most of them selected a hybrid approach of 50% of telecommuting. And so that got into what would that workspace look like. But we are going to go through in our organization, and I know some other HR professionals I've spoken to have indicated this as well, going through our jobs to identify, based on those job duties, who could telecommute in the future. So is this job a job that is 100% in person? Could it telecommute a portion of the time? Could it telecommute a majority of the time? And so when we post those jobs, candidates would know if the position would be eligible to telework or not, and that would allow us possibly, if we would like to alter our workspace moving forward. And so that going through that department by department, job by job, job description by job description, to really think about when we're past this pandemic and we're looking at what the new version of work and workspace will look like, how will these job descriptions help guide that discussion? And so, Tim, I'm going to throw it over to you because I know we're going to talk about the work of William Bridges and change model, which is so important in this space.
Yeah, you had mentioned, Erica, that, you know, at the start of this segment, the slide indicated that, you know, we have to recognize that we have to meet people where they are. And it is a really important reminder of this transition model that William Bridges has created. And it is the William Bridges' transition model, you know, in his work around organizational transformation and team transformation and business change and organizational change management. And the idea behind this model, if you're familiar with it, you know it very, very well. If you're not familiar with it, it is fairly easy to understand. There is this aspect of any type of change. Over some period of time, people do typically adopt the new change. You know, think about a new piece of technology coming into your organization. Maybe you get a new workforce management system or a new timekeeping management system. Any type of new technology coming into your organization is a fairly common thing. But it's not a fairly common thing to just immediately gain a level of adoption to that. There are some people that address and get onto the bandwagon of that new beginning right away. You know, and you can see that in the very upper left-hand corner of this model. You know, when a new change is introduced, something new is introduced, there are people that are immediately on board. You can think of those folks as the early adopters, if you will. You can think of those folks as the champions of this program, perhaps. But these are individuals that are embracing the newness of this change. And then there are other individuals. If you stay on the left-hand side of the model but move all the way down to the lower left instead of the upper left, there are people that are not letting go yet. They're not letting go of the current state, the way things are being done right now. This is the way things have always been done. I'm comfortable in this space. I'm not willing to move on to the new technology just yet. Think about it in terms of just getting a new cell phone. You know, many of us are excited about getting a new cell phone, but you know, there's just a pretty simple standard example that's often used. You know, I can increase a level of excitement among any workforce by saying everyone's getting a new smartphone so that we can do business in a better way. 90%+ of the workforce would be excited. But then if I add on to the fact that that new smartphone is a BlackBerry you know, you have immediate reaction the other way, that people may not be as excited about that now. Even though it's a new smartphone, they may not be as excited because maybe they thought that the new smartphone was going to be a Samsung or an Apple phone or a product like that. But some people will hold on to the current situation, current process, you know, current cube location. You know, I've always had this cube for the last 18 and a half years, and I'm comfortable in this space right here in the building. And there's a tendency not to let go. There's this resistance, if you will, to the change. And often, for those individuals and a large majority of others, they have to move through what William Bridges refers to as the neutral zone. It's this kind of wait and see. This is the reason that early wins and celebrating wins and broadcasting wins and building momentum around those wins and more people adopting the new change and the new normal brings others along to that new normal, that new beginning as Bridges defines it. And so this model is an important one because it is all about people. And as we think about this, we might be in positions of leadership within our organization. And we might have more of a rationale of, hey, this is just the way things are. You know, so figure it out. So yeah, instead of working in an office, you're working at home. And I get it. You've got distractions at home that maybe you didn't have at the office. But you know what? You probably had distractions at the office now that you don't have at home as well. So, you know, figure it out. That might be our mindset around it. But the positive mindset and the mindset of a change agent is one of really understanding what is the person going through and then meeting that person or those groups of people where they are rather than where we would hope for them to be or where we would otherwise want them to be. Because clearly we want everyone to be in the upper right-hand corner of this diagram. We want people to adopt the new beginning, be all in and immediately and start, you know, making that effective for the organization and the people that they serve. But that's just not the way that it works. We all know that that's just not the way that it works in real life because there's complexity and there is history and legacy and heritage. And, you know, there are other people, we probably know individuals within our office that, well, within the next 6 months, I'm going to be retiring. So why would I want to, you know, move into the new beginning? Why do I want to get comfortable in this new way of the pandemic? And so understanding that perspective is an important one, and it's a perspective that I learned from Amber Case, and Amber Case is the founder of Geoloki, and for those of you not familiar with Geoloki, you probably will be familiar with the company Esri. Geoloki is an organization that was created in Portland, Oregon by Amber Case, and she had sold that company several years ago now, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, to Esri. And what I learned from Amber was exactly that. You know, if you want to bring about real change and positive change, whether the change is planned or unplanned, you know, this pandemic was an unplanned change, but it's still change and we're going to be operating in a different way. To be as effective as you possibly can be is all about the people, and to optimize the work that they have and the engagement they have and the purpose that they have and the work they do every day, you have to meet them where they are, not where you would otherwise want them to be. And it's just been a lesson that has stuck in my mind over the years, and I think is an important one, especially at this time. And there is this sense about being intentional about this. And Erica, I know that you've got, you know, really great ideas and applications in place within your county about being intentional. And I'd love to have you share some of those perspectives relative to the Bridges model and relative to how we're transitioning and transforming our business to accommodate the change that we have going on right now. And it does take a lot of intentionality in the work that we do every day to connect intently with people to understand how they're doing and what accommodations may or may not be made, connecting with people to, yes, check in to make sure they've got the technology and understand the process well enough to carry out their work, but also to understand the rest of their complexity in their world at this time to make sure that there is, that there's not, mental challenges or emotional challenges getting in the way of carrying out that work and their livelihood, because again, sometimes we can't see them because they're at home and we can't see all the complexity, and we have to be much more intentional about what we do every day and sometimes what we take for granted when we are face to face with folks in the office. And so Erica, I'd love for you to share a little bit more about the intentionality that you're bringing and your workforce is bringing relative to the pandemic and how you're carrying out the great business of your county.
Thanks, Tim. You know, when Tim and I discussed this when we were getting ready for today, I was telling Tim that we have worked through the Bridges model in our organization and on my own HR team, just in our department, we had that picture on the wall. And we were discussing it at a staff meeting as a follow-up, and I'll actually go back to that slide, because someone said, the neutral zone looks like a river to me, and that the ending, losing, letting go, and the new beginnings are banks of that river. And we ended up having a discussion about how we would cross that river, if it was fast-moving and the wider part was kind of slower water, and who would cross where. And everybody got up and drew on this poster on the wall about where they would cross that river. And having that discussion about that really was insightful about other people. We ended up talking about how people embrace change, how they apply themselves toward change or approach change. And then we had people saying, you know, well, I'm going to charge ahead. I'm one of those people, but you can throw me a rope across that river and I'll secure it on the other side for you, or I'll put my hand out and help you get across. And so as that understanding really helped people to know how people were feeling about just the idea of change, even when not being in the change itself. And so we've really worked through that model. Mr. Bridges didn't intend the model to be a river necessarily, but that one metaphor, or seeing that that great graphic through that one employee's eyes, led to a really insightful conversation. So that was really great, and I wanted to share that with all of you. Well, we had embarked on an organizational renewal initiative prior to COVID, where we talked about communication and honoring people and being transparent and building trust in our organization, and really being thoughtful about what our culture is at Coconino County and what do we want that culture to be, not just let that culture happen by accident, but to really shape that culture and continue those things about the culture that we really liked and that people valued and that made us who we are as an organization. And so there was nothing wrong with our culture. In fact, we liked it so much that we wanted to be really thoughtful about how we got there and how we could keep it moving forward in such a positive way. And that has really helped us through this time, because we've really had a lot of conversations about vulnerability and transparency and sharing at all levels of the organization. And so that's helped. That communication has really helped us during that time. And so we've had a couple town halls where all employees were able to speak on the town hall, where they got to ask questions directly of leadership. And they really appreciated leadership sharing stories about how they were doing, how they were feeling, personal reflections, team reflections, and felt like they got to know some of that leadership better than they had known them previously, even during these unique and extraordinary times. But also, we have a lot of employees who are floating between departments, as I mentioned earlier, and it helped those employees to see all the different work that we do across all departments, and to expand their idea of team from their work group or their division or their department to the larger team, and to know people across departments and divisions better. And so that has been a really great way to connect people to what we do as an organization, to our purpose, to our mission, and that we're all working on that together. And so that brings us to our polling question number 3. Rate your organizational morale during this time of profound change. We have several different responses there. So we have excellent, team members are thankful for our ability to adapt in the face of the pandemic. Good, most team members are doing well. Mixed, some team members are doing well while others are struggling. Fatigued, team members are tiring of the length of the change. Stressed, team members are experiencing stress due to change and uncertainty. and struggling. Team members are struggling during this unprecedented time, and many are afraid. So if you want to take a minute and indicate a response there, it can be really hard to pick because I'm sure you have employees across this entire spectrum. And so if you just want to kind of give this snapshot just for today, because each day that might change of how you would rate your organizational morale, while we consider all the different ways that people might be feeling and how there might be differences in the way that people might be feeling during all this change and uncertainty. And it looks like most everyone so far is in the majority of respondents in the good and the mixed categories there, with most of you picking B, good. Most team members are doing well. And a few picked excellent, so that's outstanding. I'll give everyone a few more minutes to respond there. But it's a good time to think about that the public service is a calling, and that we're finding new way to answer that call and to demonstrate our passion for service, the way that we support our neighbors, our citizens, our residents, and to really think about what motivates our team members and to ask that question to when we call and check in, whether that's on Teams or by phone, to ask them what's motivating you and how has that changed from a year ago. That's something that we do. We encourage people on their anniversaries to think about what encourages you and motivates you in this work and brings you joy in this work today. So at New Employee Orientation on their very first day, we have them write down what they're excited about, what is motivating them and engaging them in the work on their very first day of employment. Because they're so excited, they have a brand new job, they're excited to get the call for that job, and so what does that look like? And then every year on their anniversary, to ask them to look back at that piece of paper and see how it's the same and how it's changed and what's motivating them now, what excites them now, what do they love about the work they do now. And so it can be a great time to ask that question of your staff and start that practice. And it really leads to really great conversations. So in the end, 59% selected B, Tim. So I will turn it over to you and get your thoughts on what how our colleagues responded on this polling question.
Yeah, this polling question I think is a really important one. And you know, it's one thing for us to answer this because in some cases we are answering this, on behalf of our team as it's kind of suggested. You know, one of the things too is to understand that we might have our own bias and our own perspectives as well, kind of like our mindset, right? And so if we think, oh, wow, our team's doing excellent, you know, if we were to ask individuals, though, they might say, you know what, I'm fatigued, and it probably is based on the day as well, right? The day is going to have some implications relative to are we feeling fatigued or stressed out on any given day or situation or context of that day. But it is important to raise this on a fairly regular basis. One thing that we're doing, you know, at the start of every month, so the first of every month or the first business day of every month, since the pandemic started. So we started working remotely. We made the decision on March 12th, and we've been working remotely ever since. So March 13th, that was a Friday, the 13th. And on the first of each month, we have a team-wide meeting. Our teams meet throughout that day. And in each team meeting, we have a conversation about what's happening, about what's happening in the counties of each of our employees. And so most of our employees, I'm located in Portland, Oregon, Multnomah County, and most of our employees are in about a 4 or 5 county region here in the northern part of Oregon as well as southern Washington. And so we talk about, you know, what's happening with our counties. We pull up the county maps and, you know, how is the pandemic, faring, you know, in terms of new cases, you know, unfortunately, in terms of the deaths that we're seeing. Are we seeing it rise or go down? What are the overall trends? We see and look at, you know, major data reporting tools and systems, you know, coming out of the National Association of Counties, as well as coming out of Johns Hopkins, as well as coming out of the White House and the CDC and elsewhere. We pull up data and we talk about that and what it means to us, and are we stressed by it? Are we fatigued by it? And as you can imagine, the answers are different based on person, and the answers are different based on the household conditions. You know, are there kids in the house? Are there multiple generations in the house with other parents? Are there those individuals in the house that are missing major events, as Erica was talking about earlier, and many of you have experienced yourself with graduating seniors, whether they're graduating from high school or college or anywhere else. You know, there are major events that are happening that folks are missing, such as prom and such as weddings and such as, you know, these type of things can create, you know, increased struggles and stress and fatigue and mental challenge and emotional challenge, and therefore there's an impact on the work challenge as well. And it's because of that that we kind of get to this third part of what Erica and I were thinking about. You know, it does start with a mindset. You know, we can impact people around us positively or negatively. So what will I do with the world as I find it, and what shows up when I do? You know, that becomes an important component. And then recognizing that we've got to meet people where they are, not where we'd otherwise want them to be. And then third here is to recognize that it does boil down to the fundamentals. Are our businesses, whether you're in county government, city government, private industry, nonprofit, for-profit, the business, any business that we're in, it is about people serving people. And it is all about fundamentals. There's a lot of complexity in the work that we do. There's a lot of challenge in the work that we do every day. And the success or failure that we have really does come down to the fundamentals. And that is because, as the slide illustrates here, it is all about the people. And when we think about that, when I think about that, I'm reminded of my friend Thornton May, who is an IT and cybersecurity futurist. And, you know, we do live in this highly specialized world, you know, this immediate gratification and this immediate customization of things, personalization of things, whether it be from the way in which we can design our own gym shoes at this point, buying them from Nike online and making the color scheme and adding our name and everything else to them, or in the way in which we consume any other service, from the county or from the state or elsewhere, we want it personalized. And at the same time, because of that, it adds a layer of complexity, a lot of complexity at that, right? And therefore, it is easy to overlook the fundamentals. And when Thornton talks about the fundamentals, he is talking about focusing on the people. You know, I'm often reminded, especially when things get really challenging, is, you know, it's not about what any one person thinks to be right. It's about us collectively getting it right. And so how do we make sure that we focus our work on getting it right rather than any one person feeling as if she or he got it right? And so how do we help drive that collaboration? Again, it's an intentional perspective. How do we bring more intention to the work that we do? And it's increasingly needed in times of working remotely. So how do we drive that level of collaboration and make sure that we get it right more than any one person being right? How do we, you know, recognize that, yeah, we can have a lot of data to give us a lot of information, a lot of which may not really matter? How do we boil down to, these are the three things that we need to get right? These are the three things that we need to measure ourselves against right now. You know, a good friend of mine is John Marcanti. He's the CIO of Vanguard. Vanguard manages like $5 trillion of assets. And if your retirement account might be with Vanguard. And, you know, I asked him one day a few years back about how he manages priorities with all the stuff that he might need to be focused on with cybersecurity and technology and everything that Vanguard's engaged with. He's got 1,000 things that he could possibly do any day on any given day. And he said something to me then that I'll never forget. And he said, you know, I would rather move 3 balls a mile than 30 balls an inch. And a lot of that is about prioritization. A lot of that is about recognizing that, yeah, we could do a lot of things, but a lot of things may not matter. So how do we measure what is most important and then focus on getting those things right and moving those things forward? And in order to do that, we have to have a bias toward action and not get frozen by this idea of FUD, you know, this sense of fear and uncertainty and doubt, because it is easy to have fear, uncertainty, and doubt, especially at times like these. And we have to overcome that. We have to recognize that that's real. And some folks will be frozen with fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And that's what will keep them in the lower left-hand corner of the William Bridges' model. And that's why we need people on that other side of the river reaching out a hand to help people across, to help folks overcome the fear and overcome the uncertainty and overcome the doubt, having that mindset that, yes, it can be done. Yes, we will accomplish this because these are the few things that we have to get right, and we will get right, and we will overcome this challenge. And a lot of it is based on the relationships we have because it is all about people. And Erica, I'll hand it back to you to share your perspectives and thoughts about these fundamentals and about the focus on people as we think about these big challenging times that we have today.
Well, Tim, thanks. I want to get to some questions. I think we only have about 5 minutes left, and I see a question from Christine in the chat that I think I can answer. So I think, Christine, really some of the survey really helped us to communicate to our leadership about what we're doing in the productivity. And I see that you're thinking about that in terms of council members. So I think the conversation is to really understand what those council members need. Some of them need more data. Some of them need more quantitative pieces. And so to be able to share survey information, but to also share how departments have adapted and changed, what the new priorities are, what the successes have been, what the lessons learned have been. And so we also included some of those things in our departmental reentry responses, not part of the plan, but just as part of the responses. And it helped everyone to really realize how priorities had shifted, what people were working on. We also shared the number of employees who are floating to other departments, and how many people were serving in areas like utility assistance, rental use assistance, in public health, in our case, in the assessor's office and the treasurer's office at this time of year. So based on what those unique business models are, how people have stepped up, how they've gone above and beyond, how we've refocused our priorities has really helped us to communicate that message of how people are being productive and showing where people are being more productive than before, because that's something we're hearing as well, is that some people are more productive than they had been previously. Darianne, do we have any additional questions that you see?
There was just one more question that came in. How can they get a copy of the survey?
Great, and I can share that with ICMA. Darianne, can you share how that might be distributed to the attendees?
If you have the survey link now, you can post it in the chat area and click send to all. If you don't, we can follow up with everybody later on after post-event.
Yeah, I don't have it right this moment, so I'll need to get that to you, and then we can send that out to everyone.
And that was our last question. Presenters, do you have any closing remarks before we close out today?
I would simply say, you know, best of luck, and you know, we are all looking to share best practices, and so, you know, just believe in you know, connecting with people and focusing on, you know, the little things that do make the big differences, and they will, and you know, we will overcome what is immediately in front of us because we have been doing this. You have been doing this as well, and so recognize those wins and you know, celebrate those wins because they are the points of momentum. Any positive movement is positive momentum that's going to enable individuals to do the next thing and the next thing and the thing after that. So you know, good luck as you go out after all of that, and feel free to connect with ICMA and us if you have any additional questions or want to share any additional insights.
And with that,
and
you
I
must
just add,
oh, go ahead. Oh, please go ahead.
Thank you to everyone, and you know, we're all working so hard and coming up with unique ideas and having these conversations and conversations I learned from our attendees, as well as we're all doing creative things, and to share those things with one another and that community to make everyone have
even better ideas, because together we're all stronger, and like Tim said, we will be successful in getting through this together.
Thank you, and with that, we will conclude today's webinar. A special thank you to our presenters and to everyone who joined us today. Please take a moment now to complete a brief evaluation of today's program by clicking the evaluation link to the left of the screen. Your comments and suggestions are important to us as we plan future events. The survey must be completed in order to receive your certificate for this program. You can also access the survey from your ICMA University dashboard by clicking on the program title once you are logged in. Thank you for your participation in today's webinar. We hope you will join us again soon. Today's program is copyright 2020 by the International City County Management Association with all rights reserved. And this does conclude today's program. Have a wonderful day. You may now disconnect.